Two places tonight. Isaiah chapter 9, that's where I started last week, and go ahead and find Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. We'll be going over there in just a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 25. And I'll go ahead and, I don't even think I've found it yet, so. I appreciate everybody came over Sunday night. We had a good meeting over there at the camp meeting. I really enjoyed that, and I'd like to get back one night, but I don't know if I'll be able to or not. And so we'll just see about that. But let's go ahead and read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. That's where I started last week, and I said, that was an introduction to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. And tonight, I would say Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10, the hedge. That's what I'm going to try to preach on and point out tonight, the hedge. And you'll see as we read through these how important a hedge is for protection. And so let's read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. We pointed out last week that this is a prophecy concerning the children of Israel and what would happen, that God was trying to warn them, draw them back. But Isaiah chapter 9 verse 10 said, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And so last week in our introduction, we pointed out that although America is not Israel, there are many parallels between Israel and America. There's a lot of things we can look at both of them and say America is like Israel in one respect or another. And so there's a lot of applications we can make when we look in the Word of God. I would say there is untelling how many messages have been preached down through the years that just went something along the lines, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." And we know that's talking about the children of Israel. But in America, preachers have preached that message. Nobody but God knows how many times. And I heard a preacher explain it like this one time. He said, "Well, you can say that's Israel if you want to, and it is. But if we're not my people, then whose people are we? If my people..." There's some things that the principle applies across the board. And so we're not saying that America and Israel is the same, but there's a lot of things that apply. And there's a lot of applications that can be made to nations. Last Sunday in Sunday school, Brother Mike brought out some interesting things about Israel and the Jewish people and some things that I had never really thought about before, but he had found some interesting information, and he said in the Sunday school hour that there are more Jews in America than there are in Israel. That's interesting. You know, you'd think that there'd be more Jews in Israel than anywhere in the world, but there are more Jews in America than there are in the nation of Israel. And also, something else he'd found out, he shared with us, is that there are more Jews in America than in any other nation in the world. More Jewish people in America than in China, Russia, Germany. You know, you pick out any nation where there are Jewish people, England, Australia, there's places where there are Jewish people all around the world, but there's more Jewish people in America than anywhere in the world. So for that reason alone, that ought to cause us to pay attention when God is speaking to His people, even in these last days. And I talked last week about how I had read a book called The Harbinger by Jonathan Cahn. And as I read that book, I thought to myself, now, if what he's saying is true, God's people need to know these truths and need to learn about them. And that's what the book is founded upon, is the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And we'll get into that a little bit more as time goes on. But what happened on 9/11 is happening and happened already in our country. What we see in chapter 9, verse 10, the bricks are falling down. The sycamores are cut down. They came along. They said, we'll build greater. We'll put back hewn stone. We will change them into cedars. All those things have already happened in New York City at Ground Zero. And I'm not going to get into that much tonight, but I just wanted to say that again. So I'm not trying to hide anything. I make no bones about it. I've used that book as a guide to bring out some of these things, but I've been doing my own independent study, and it's interesting. Other things I've learned and read in other books, and then you read in the Bible how things come together, and it's always exciting to see where you've been studying over here and over there, and then God will take something from over there, and He'll put things together in your mind and help you to see things, and it's always exciting to me when the Lord does that. But we ought to always be like the Berean example in the Bible. We should never just take what somebody says and say, well, you know, that's what the preacher said. We ought to be like the Bereans in the Bible. The Bible said in Acts 17 and 11, it said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. When I read Paul saying that about the Berean Christians, they received the word with all readiness of mind. And so I can imagine them receiving the word of God. They're ready. They're open. They want to learn and understand. And so there, I can see them listening to Paul. Boy, that's interesting. Well, that's good. That's the word of God. We like that. But they didn't just stop right there. They went and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And that's how we ought to be. We ought to be Berean Christians. We ought to study the Word of God and search the Word of God. And that'll increase our faith as well. And last week I pointed out that God deals with nations individually. What I mean by that is that if a nation is a righteous nation, if it's a godly nation, God deals with them accordingly. He treats them like a righteous nation. He blesses them like a righteous nation. He protects them and watches over them like a righteous nation. And on the other hand, if there is a ungodly nation, if there's a unrighteous nation, then God deals with them accordingly. Would you rather have been raised in America or Russia? I'll take America, won't you? We all grew up. I grew up hearing about bread lines in Russia, persecution in Russia, no opportunities over there. You know the thing about Russia that makes them famous? They outlawed God. They said we're an atheist nation. We don't believe in God. Well, look how blessed they are. Look how God has blessed America. There's a huge difference. God treats nations according to how they conduct themselves, and specifically how they conduct themselves in regard to the nation of Israel, or to God's people, the Jewish people. Now, look over in Matthew chapter number 25. Keep your place in Isaiah, but look in Matthew chapter number 25. And I was reading this again today, and I've read it many times, and I just got to reading down through there and noticing some things, and sort of, again, like I was saying, how the Lord brings things together. And here He's talking about the judgment of the nations, and I don't have time to go into all the details here because there's a lot you could get into about, well, nations versus individuals, but I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But I just want us to read down through here. And you'll see that each nation is judged according to their treatment of one group of people in the world. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him,
Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. God's going to judge the nations of the world. Gather before him all the nations, the Bible says. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer. Now, who's the king? Jesus is the king. He's the king. So he's explaining to the nations here. They said, when did we do all those things to you? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Who's the brethren of the king? The Jewish people. He's a Jew. The Lord Jesus Christ is a Jew. That is your main reason why there's so much anti-Semitism in the world. People hate the Jews because the Savior came out of the Jewish people, the Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly heritage. And so he said, if you've done it unto my brethren, you've done it unto me. If you've been good to the Jewish people, you'll be rewarded accordingly in eternity. Then he said in verse 41, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. These shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so, you know, that goes right back to what I pointed out in Genesis chapter number 12 last week. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed and make them as the sand of the sea. And he said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. So the nations are going to be rewarded according to how they treat the Jewish people. So that's important for us to understand when we're looking at Isaiah and other places in the Bible. How does our nation treat the Jew? How does our nation regard the Word of God? Do we accept the Word of God? Do we reject the Word of God? I'll tell you just what little bit I know about history. In the millennial kingdom, I'm not looking for Germany and Russia to be there. And it remains to be seen whether America is going to be there or not. Just the days ahead is going to tell a lot on our nation. Not just concerning the Jews, but the Christian people as well. And so there's going to be nations that will go into the millennial kingdom. That's what this is talking about. There'll be nations that are not there. God's going to remove them. So how we treat the Jewish people. God treats nations individually according to how they treat the Jewish people. Now, America was founded as a Christian nation, and I'm not going to spend... I could take a segment every week and give example after example of our Christian heritage. From the pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower, first thing they did before they got off the boat, they had a business meeting and they said, we're going to have to rule over ourselves. There's a long story. And do you know, they were supposed to land in Virginia. But providentially, they missed Virginia by, what is that, 1,000 miles? Landed up at Plymouth Rock or however far that is. And so they didn't come in under the charter that they were supposed to. So they had to decide some things before they got off the boat. And you know how they started off talking about, if you read the Mayflower Compact, in ye name of God, amen. For the furtherance of the gospel among the heathen, we're going to be Christians. Decided some things that they was going to submit themselves before they got off the Mayflower under the word of God, and God was going to be their king. Our nation, you just have to be the worst kind of fool not to realize that the handprint of America or the handprint of God is all over the history of America. Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, churches, do you know, all these what they call Ivy League schools, Harvard and Yale, and I could just go down the list there. Do you know they were established in America to train ministers? Not lawyers, not politicians or economics professors, but for the furtherance of the gospel, to train preachers to go out and preach, Harvard and Yale and what's some of the other ones, I can't even remember. But our history, all through our history, is a Christian heritage that we have. But in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we have moved from being a Christian nation to a post-Christian nation. After. Post means after. We're no longer in America a true blue Christian nation. We're a post-Christian nation. We've moved beyond that, whether we like it or not. But I believe we've moved even farther than that. We are now living in an anti-Christian nation. Not just, we're not going to be a Christian nation. Now, we've quickly moved to, we're going to be an anti, we're against everything. We don't want no Ten Commandments in the courthouse. We don't want no prayer in the school. When I say we, you know what I'm saying tonight. That's our nation's men. Not we, us here tonight. Not other Christian people, but our nation as a whole. If you don't believe me, just read the newspaper. A few months ago, I started clipping out clippings. Because I believe this with all my heart. Christians, if God doesn't send revival to America, Christians are going to be persecuted again in this country. I started clipping out clippings and things that I'd found, but I stopped doing that. I don't have enough room. I don't have enough time. You don't have to dig for it to find it. You just pick up the newspaper any day of the week. You just watch the news. There is such a flood coming against the church, the Bible, the preaching of the Word of God. This example of them taking Brother Worley's comments and twisting it all around, going to protest and all. That could happen to any church anywhere that preaches the Word of God. Boy, people don't like that. They don't like to hear the preaching of the Word of God. We are an anti-Christian nation. We don't even have a choice in elections this year. Muslim or a Mormon. I know Mr. Obama says he's a Christian, but I read his book. I'd tell anybody else that had that testimony that's in that book, my friend, you're not saved by the grace of God. There's a difference by being in name only and being a born-again child of God. And then I lived among the Mormons. They're not saved. Amen. They don't believe in the same Jesus that we believe in. There's a lot of things. If you studied about the Mormon church, you'd come away with your mouth and you'd say, how can anybody believe anything like that? They believe things that they believe they'll each become a god and inhabit their own universe and have their own spiritual baby children and inhabit their own world. And I mean, it's out there. It's out there. It's not from the Bible. It's another gospel. And it says that on their little book. It says another gospel. What Paul say about another gospel? He said, if any come and bring another gospel unto you that I brought, let him be accursed. So that's what we've got to choose from. We don't have a choice in America. The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations. Underline that. Even America. God do that to America? Sure he would. Look what the Bible says. Go back to the book of Isaiah. I want to read a few verses in Isaiah chapter number 5. Now, Isaiah chapter number 5, we're leading up to the specifics that we find in Isaiah chapter number 9. But now, Isaiah chapter number 5, he's talking about he's likening Israel to a vineyard. And in Isaiah chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says over there, now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. And built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, there are certain blessings and benefits that God has bestowed upon the nation of Israel, and any nation that'll be a righteous nation and will bless the children of Israel, God's going to bless them. There's benefits to that. God has surely blessed America. He said in verse number 1, he said, now I will sing. I'm just going to point out a few of them. He said, now I will sing to my well-beloved. Any nation that will accept God, God will accept them and they'll become his. My. It's like I said about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, I want to be in that group, don't you? My people. God's people. And so if we accept the Lord and we live as a nation, God accepts the nation. Now, I will sing to my well-beloved. That's a good place to be. He said, I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved. There's a God rejoices in the nation that accepts his precepts. Brings joy to him. Brings pleasure to his heart. He said there, my well-beloved is a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Fruitful there speaks of the blessings of God. We see the blessings of God all round about us. Amen. We're not a cursed nation tonight like Russia. We're a blessed nation tonight. Look at all the blessings we have. I lived in the country of England for 3 years. They don't have near the blessings of God. I mean, I'll take America any day. I've been a lot of places. I'll take America. We live in a very fruitful hill. God has blessed us. He's blessed our nation. He said in verse number 2, and he fenced it. Now, that speaks of protection. God's protected us. He said he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof. That speaks of care and cultivation, and we can see where God has removed evil out of, you know, thank God I drink coffee every morning and not tea. God cast out the stones out of America, gave us liberty, gave us freedom. We're not British citizens. We're free. Unique of all the nations in the earth, God's blessed us. God has cultivated America and made it a great nation, greater than any nation in the world. Amen. That's America. Gathered out, he said in verse number 2, He said the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. All these things speak of the blessing of God. And built a tower in the midst of it. That speaks of His watch care over our nation. God watches over our nation and has in the past. Built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. That speaks of industry and invention in a nation. You think of all the things, all the blessings that have come out of America. We're blessed. We've been able to be a blessing to other nations in the world. Could mention many things. He said, I put a wine press in the middle of it, industry and invention. But if you look at the end of verse number 2, he said, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. There's disappointment in the vineyard. And I was reading Haley's Bible dictionary this afternoon, and he said about Isaiah chapter number 5, he said it's sort of a sort of funeral dirge or funeral song about the nation of Israel. God done all these things for the nation of Israel and had great expectations from this nation, and it brought forth wild grapes. We could go down and apply every one of these things to America and say tonight that God has been so good to us. How disappointing we must be before the Lord. I'm talking about as a nation. Because God has blessed us and been so good to us. Let's read on down and you'll see what God does to get their attention. Now, that's why He sends prophets. He sends prophets to get the attention of the nation. And so we read on down. And it said in verse number 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And he's talking about the disappointment in the nation. Verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Now we ought to pay attention right there. God says, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. He said, I will take away the hedge thereof. Now we're leading up to what happens a little bit later on. But see what God says? First thing he says, I'll do to the nation. He says, I'm going to take away the hedge. Take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. But you ought to underline that in your Bible. He said, I will take away the hedge thereof. Now, Haley's Bible Handbook, two different places talked about what it's talking about right here, and in Isaiah chapter 7 and in Isaiah chapter number 9, it is referred to. Now, there's the carrying away in the captivity of the Israel, the northern tribes, and by Assyria. Later on, there's the carrying away into Babylon of the southern. There's Israel and there's Judah that comes much later on. But there was this, I talked about it last week, this breach where there was a mini invasion by the Assyrians. That's what he's referring to. And it's even referred to as the Galilean captivity. Do you know, in all the studying I've done, I've never come across that. There was a little warning by God. God took away the hedge. There was a breach. There was an attack by the Assyrians, and it's called the Galilean captivity. It is hardly a blip on the historical radar. Nobody paid no attention to that. Nobody thought anything about that. Or there's not a lot of talk about that, but it is a historical fact that it took place. But God said, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. Do you know what that is specifically talking about? A hedge is there for protection. In the Old Testament, in Bible days, their houses, their fields, their flocks, they didn't build fences like we do. They didn't have to. They had these big hedges that would grow up that had big long thorns, and they would plant that hedge around a house or in their fields, and they'd put their flocks in that at night. And that hedge would protect from the wild animals, and so that hedge speaks of protection. God said, I'm going to take the protection away from the nation. I read this the other morning in the book of Proverbs chapter 21, 2 days ago, the 21st. Last verse in Proverbs chapter 21 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, you can do everything under the sun to protect yourself, but when it comes right down to it, safety is of the Lord. He's the one that keeps you safe. He's the one that keeps us safe as a nation, as individuals, as people. I told you I went to the Oklahoma City Memorial when I was out there preaching a few weeks ago, and they had a display. What they did, you go in and you go, talking about the Alfred P. Murrah building and Timothy McVeigh bombing it and all of those things. Well, you go into that museum and there's a big old mural on the wall that says, a day like any other day. And it starts right there, how that day started. And that's on one side. And on the other side, they give a little bit of history of what they call homegrown terror in America. Because they say, Timothy McVeigh, he's a homegrown terrorist. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But anyway, they had a display over there. And it was pretty lame. What I mean by that is they gave examples in the history of America of all the homegrown terrorism that we've had in America. And me and Preacher Mark stood there between ourselves. It was 4 or 5 things that has happened in our history, but I'd never heard of any of them. It was pretty lame. He said, have you ever heard of that? I said, I never heard of that. You know what that tells us tonight? Comparatively speaking, America has had about 0 terrorism in the history of our nation. Compared to the other nations, we've had it pretty good. You've been able to grow up and go on vacation and travel around, go to any city in America that you wanted to, park anywhere you wanted to. You might have to lock your doors and hope your tires is there when you got back, but you didn't have to worry about nobody pulling up beside you and blowing you up and everybody around you up. When I lived in England, they trained us and told us and put into our heads. They said, if you go to London, if you go to visit somewhere, temporary duty, don't dress in your cowboy boots and your baseball hats. Don't look like an American, because they didn't like in the IRA, the Ireland Republican Army over there. They was continually bombing and blowing up and things like that. We weren't raised like that. Don't have to worry about anything like that. We've never, in all the history of America, and you get past the American Revolutionary War, beyond that, we've never been invaded by an invading army.
Amen.
We've never been bombed by another nation. You think of all the wars that we have been involved in as a nation, but we've never been bombed by another nation. That's a protection of God. Well, with the exception of Pearl Harbor, we've been attacked and bombed, but not like when I lived in England and we went to London and we went to a museum and they had a display there that what it was like to live in London in World War II. And you went through this little, I don't know, exhibit, and it was interactive, and they would have the sirens go off and the announcements, and they herded you down into a little room and closed the doors, and it would shake in there and lights, and you could hear people screaming, and it was giving you the experience of what it would have been like to live in London during World War II, because they were continually bombed from Germany. None of us have ever had to experience anything like that. We've been protected. And it's not because of, now God has blessed us and made a great army and all of these things, but we have been protected because God has protected us. Nobody knows what it's like to say, living, you didn't grow up in no occupied territory. Like if you lived over in Israel. We've been able to travel and go anywhere we wanted to, but you know what? 9/11 changed all of those things for America. 9/11 changed all of that. You know what God did on 9/11? I believe with all my heart, God took the hedge away. Look at all of our history of protection. But in one day, you look what happened. And no matter what you think about 9/11, if you think, well, there's conspiracy there. Or if you believe what they say happened on TV, you know, just textbook. You know, it don't matter which way you look at it. Here's what it boils down to. God allowed it to happen. God could have stopped anything He'd have wanted to. He's intervened on our behalf many, many times. But on September the 11th, 2001, Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 10 came to the shores of America, and the bricks fell down, and the sycamores were cut down, and the nation with the greatest military strength in all the world. You think about that. In spite of all of our technology to detect attack from another country, in spite of all those things, in spite of all of our readiness and all of our preparedness, most people don't realize what goes into protecting our country. I mean, 24 hours a day, our military is watching the skies. 24 hours a day. And I mean, people dedicate their lives to nothing more. When I was in England, that was our mission. Protect against an attack from Russia. They didn't even want them to get this far. That's why we have bases in Germany and England and Spain and all over Europe. It's to stop anybody from coming over here. I mean, billions and billions of dollars and lives are spent to protect our shores. But God allowed our enemy to come in and use our own planes, commercial airplanes, with American citizens on those planes. And God allowed those planes to be flown off course and strike at the heart of the very place in America that stands more than anything else for our prosperity and our power and our riches and our resources. And one plane flew into one tower and another plane come along and both those towers fall. All the bricks are falling down. You talk about a slap in the face to the pride of America. 18 camel jockeys hijack planes and bring down the place in America that stands more for what we stand for. You think about that. That couldn't have been scripted. If you was writing a movie about how to humble America and how to get America's attention, you couldn't have written it into a movie script. But it was scripted in the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. We're going to see. We're just scratching the surface of what I'm sharing with you tonight. It was scripted. God said, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll tell you what I'll do to the nation that rejects me. God said, first thing I'll do, I'll take the hedge away. Do you know America's lived in fear ever since? Amen. Terrorism. God said in the book of Zechariah, as you do unto Israel, I'll do unto you. What we do to Israel, God said, I'll let it happen to you. We've had to live with terrorism all these years. The threat of it now, everywhere you go, it's all you hear about. Well, I'm closing tonight. Is there an answer to all these things? I mean, this is talking about what happens to a nation that rejects the warnings of God. Well, look in, I found this the other day in verse number 12. Skipping ahead in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 12, it said, "The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth." Then it says this, "For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Boy, I like that. "For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." And it says it again in verse number 21, the last verse in this chapter. He said, "For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." In spite of everything, God's still a good God. And in spite of everything that's happened in America, and it is happening in America, there's still a God in heaven that got his hand held out to us. God's good. Anything that God allows to happen in America, we couldn't argue, because his hand is held out still. But look how people treat him. And I'll close with this on Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30. God said this later on about the land and about a hedge. He said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We need some hedge menders in our day and time. If a people of God doesn't stand in the gap for our nation, what's going to happen to us? We're in a mess. We're in a mess. The world is attacking your hedge, your people standing in the hedge and making up the gap. Brother Worley is a good man of God. He's the third preacher that I know that's ended up on the news or arrested. Brother Whittemore, they hauled him off, took his picture. He sat in jail for I forget how long. They got him out and exonerated him of everything. All it took is one person to make an accusation. They made him to be out like a criminal.
Amen.
He hadn't done nothing. Brother Williams and the girls' home, they had them on CNN. This is people I've sat down, fellowshipped with, prayed with, preached with. Good men. Good men of God that love people and try to make a difference. And here, Brother Worley, we need to be praying for our churches, our preachers.
Amen.
Stand in the gap, make up a hedge. I noticed last night I was thinking about that. Every one of them's name starts with W. So let's pray for one another.